Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, welcome all of you. Today we will continue this small seminar, which is mainly based on the pastimes of Lord Krishna and all the teaching that are given through the pastime. Does anyone need a German translation?
Yeah. I probably will do it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's actually the third part of the seminar, and I think there will be still quite some parts. You are going actually very slow through that pastime, and there is Hare Krishna. There is a lot of details, and today will be a very rich day. Today we will have a lot of teachings coming out of this pastime. So I would like to just ask you, for those who were there, the two first part of this seminar, if any one of you has still some remembrance, or could maybe just share a little bit what he heard, what he remembered from what we went through until now. According to that, I will continue the seminar. If you don't remember, maybe it doesn't make sense. Thank you. Very good. Yeah, that was the beginning of the journey from Krishna and Balaram. It was Akura going to Vrindavan to pick up Krishna and Balaram and bring them to Mathura. That was actually an evil plan from Kamsa to somehow try to kill Krishna and Balaram. Yeah, and the second part were actually very beautiful description of how the ladies of Mathura would be there to welcome Krishna and to see how Krishna and Balaram would enter the town. So the end of the second part was ending. Krishna and Balaram had already walked for a while on the street of Mathura, but they were thinking, we actually need a new outfit. We need some new clothes. We are still dressed as simple cowherd boys of Vrindavan, but now we are in the town. Now we are in Mathura, and we need some clothes that are fitting to time and circumstances. So as they were walking, and as Krishna was thinking of that, immediately they saw a washerman. A washerman who was there with many of his assistants, and he had also many donkeys who were carrying big load of cloth. And actually, this washerman was a servant of Kamsa. And all the clothes were actually belonging to the king. So when Krishna and Balaram saw this washerman, they came to him and they asked him, they said, "Dear washerman, could you please give us some of your clothes? Please give us some of your clothes." And the washerman did not like so much the proposal of Krishna and Balaram, and actually became very quickly angry and started to speak very harsh words to Krishna and Balaram. Now, Krishna and Balaram were just young boys, And they were actually very beautiful and had such a sweet voice. But the washerman just could not check himself and was just arrogant and was just speaking badly. Who could be so arrogant with just small boys? But that was the nature of this washerman. The washerman said, "Who are you? Village boy? Who are you to ask for the king's clothes? Just go back to your village." That was the answer of the washerman. Not so kind. So now it is said that Krishna is also known as Vishvambhara. That means the one who provides for the entire universe. Krishna is the person who possesses everything. Everything is coming from him. And now that he's asking for such a small things that actually belong to him, the washerman is speaking such harsh language. So Krishna addressed him again. He said, "Priya Vrajak." Rajak. Rajak means washerman. "Dear washerman." Krishna is again speaking with kind words. Krishna is very humble. And he said, "Okay, don't worry. I came here with Balaram and many of my friends, but you don't need to provide clothes for all of us. You just provide for Balaram and for myself. That will be good enough. Don't worry, you don't need to give everything. And we are very simple boys. One set of clothes will be enough. Just one dhoti, one chador, whatever you can give, you please give at least only this much." And then Krishna understood, it's not easy for him to give me anything. So he said, "Don't worry, I will reward you. I will reward you 100,000 times more than what you are giving me. I unfortunately do not have money, but I promise that I will give you Param Shreyo. Param Shreyo means unlimited wealth, good health, journey, free journey to the heaven, all good qualities." So Krishna was telling him, "Don't worry, do not doubt. If you just give me some small part of those clothes, I will reward you so many times more." But did not work. The washerman was still very angry. The washerman was saying, "Have you ever seen such a cloth? Are you not ashamed to ask for them? You are just village boy and you ask for the king, the clothes of the king. How is that possible?" Now there are two reasons why actually the washerman was speaking so angrily, was so arrogant with Krishna. One reason was that he was actually the servant, one of the main servants of the king. And because of his position, he was arrogant. Whoever actually become proud is very easily falling into becoming arrogant. That fits together very well, to be proud and to be arrogant. So due to his high position of being a servant, he had this tendency to be arrogant. And the other reason is that actually his kala had come. His time. His time had come. The time of his death had come. And therefore he was speaking such a harsh words. It is said that any sinful person, when they come to the time of death, they will speak badly. They will speak very badly. And we can see when someone is acting like this, we can understand that his time of death is soon arriving. So that were the reason why the washerman was so arrogant and so unwanting to give clothes to Krishna. "How dare you ask?" was the washerman saying. "In your village, you just wear gamsha You have your stick, and now you are on the clothes of the king. And it is said that whenever someone is begging, we should never answer with harsh words. We can refuse to give, that's all right, but we should never be arrogant with them. Sometimes we see in India there are beggars in front of shops, in front of house, and sometimes people are very harsh with them. They say, "Chelo, chelo, go away from here, we don't want to see you." But it's actually not proper, because we don't know who those persons are. Sometimes there can be very great sense in disguise. Yeah?
Sometimes I saw they do like this something. If a beggar is coming, then they do this. Do you know what it means?
Often they do that if they receive some money. Often they put on the forehead.
But if they don't want to give, they do something like this.
I don't know. I don't know. So when they are begging, we might not like to give, but we should actually never tell them some harsh words, because we don't know actually who they are. Sometimes also we may think, oh, that's their karma. They are in that situation because they had some bad karma, therefore they are beggars in this life. But it's also not so correct. In one sense it might be correct, but if anyone of our family will get in a very difficult situation, will we think like this? Oh, that's just his karma? No, we will try to help the person. So if we are not disposed to help anyone who is begging, actually nobody deserves harsh words. We should at least speak good words, or at least not speak harsh words. So actually Krishna was asking for those clothes to the washerman, not only because he needed some new clothes, but he also wanted to give an indirect signal to Kamsa, telling him, see, now I'm taking your clothes, and later I will take your kingdom, and finally I will take your life. That was the message that Krishna wanted to send also. So the washerman was continuing to be arrogant. He was saying, oh fool! You want to remain, if you want to remain alive, get out of here quickly. Go back to your forest and mountains. This time I forgive you. But if you ask again, you will be killed. And what was very painful for Krishna, that was, he was arrogant, telling him, you are just a cowboy boy, you are just from the village. That was very painful. And he was doing that in front of all the cowboy boys. And Shukadev Goswami, when he's speaking about that, he said that actually the washerman was speaking much more worse words. But he spared us for telling us all else the washerman was saying. So at that time, Krishna decided that he had to react. So he took his very soft hand, and with a very harmonious move, he just went toward the throat of the washerman, and with the tips of his finger, that became like a razor blade, and he just took the head off the body of the washerman. At that time, all the assistants of the washerman became very fearful, and they started to run in all directions. They knew if we go all in the same directions, this boy who looked very, very mystical might all catch us at once. So better let us all run in different directions so that we have more chance to be saved. They still had the clothes with them. So some, they throw away the clothes, thinking, without this heavy load, we will run faster. And some, they thought, actually, this boy, he wants our clothes. So let's throw out our clothes so that he might not kill us. And the donkeys were also afraid. They were also running and jumping, and while they would jump, the clothes would also jump all around and would be spread all around the road. Now Krishna first came and took some clothes because he wanted to take some special clothes, some yellow clothes. Anyone of you knows why Krishna liked to wear yellow clothes? Any other guess? Actually, the yellow color reminds him of the complexion of Srimati Radharani. So therefore, he liked very much to dress in yellow. So Krishna took some yellow clothes, and he took only one set. He did not want to take for 7 sets for every day of the week or whatever. He took just one set, and he wanted to show us that actually one should just take what is necessary in our life. One should not take more that is necessary. So then Krishna took another set of clothes, a blue set of clothes for Balaram, and invited the cowherd boy to also take whatever they desire, whatever will be pleasing to them. So they got all those clothes. Now when people hear this pastime, especially non-devotees, they are usually a little bit, what? Just for that? Krishna cut off his head? I mean, I told this pastime once or twice to people who were a little bit thinking, oh, this Krishna is really too heavy. But actually, this washerman was really arrogant. And actually, Krishna killed him to send a message to Kamsa. But he also killed him because he wanted to free him from his sinful activities. He wanted actually to liberate him. Like sometimes, if a rich man is full of compassion for poor people, he will maybe go to the street and see one of those beggars who is sleeping in the street. And then he will go and slap him a little and say, come, come, I have a better place for you. So in the same way, Krishna was cutting the head of the washerman, telling him, come, I have a better place for you. Now, here is a very, now it's a very intense part of the Leela, because now we come into the personal application in our life. And that's a little bit intense, but I think you will survive it. Sachinandana Swami will say, please, now fasten your seat belts. So the question now is, how do we react, or what will we do when Krishna is coming to us to ask something from us? How we will react? And first question is, what is Krishna wanting from us? Who has a guess? I mean, I guess you are all devotees, huh? I'm not like in a public program when nobody never heard about Krishna. What Krishna could want from us? Yes?
The Lord and the Jesus.
Okay, very good.
Once
I've heard,
he doesn't
want to have what he wants to give, but he wants what he wants to hide. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Good. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us even a clearer or more practical hint. He said, Yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad chuosi, dadasi yad. Yat tapasyasi kanteya tat kurushva madarpanam Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you give in charity, or whatever you sacrifice, please give that to me. That's an instruction of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. So, whatever you eat, please give it to me. Only the animals, as soon as you put something to eat in front of them, they will just devour it. But human being can think a little deeper. They can think, how can this food be offered to the Lord before? They can at least fold their hands and thank the Lord and remember the Lord. And that's at least what we can do. And Krishna is asking here, please, whatever you eat, please offer to me. At least 3 times a day we are eating. So why not offering to the Lord? He will not eat everything and leave the plate empty for us. He will give us much more, because He will transform that in prasad. He will transform that in mercy that will be purifying to us. So Krishna said, whatever you eat, please offer it to me. Once I was it was in Zagreb. I was serving Sachinandana Swami's meal, and there was a piece of cake, and I know that Maharaj liked also a little cream with the cake. So I told him, oh, I forgot to offer the cream, but would you like some cream on the cake? And he said, yeah. Then I said, okay, the cream is not offered, but I can add it on the cake. And because the cake is prasad, the cream will become prasad. It is said that when something touches something which is prasad, it becomes prasad. And then my spiritual master said, no. That's not because of that. That's not, we don't offer the food because we have to offer. But the whole point of Krishna consciousness is that because we want the Lord to enjoy before us. And that's actually the whole point, the whole teaching we have by living here in this world. The whole teaching that we have to learn here is that we learn to offer whatever we have to Krishna, whatever we have to the Lord. This is what we have to learn in this world. Now we could argue, anyway, nothing belongs to us. How can we renounce anything that do not belong to us? Everything belongs to Krishna, how can we renounce? But Krishna said we can renounce to the thought or the idea of I and mine. Of enjoying this material nature that belongs to Krishna, or controlling this material nature. Therefore Krishna is asking, please, whatever you are doing, whatever you eat, whatever you renounce, just give everything as an offering to me. Krishna will reward us. We should not be like the washerman, so doubtful. Now we should have faith that Krishna will give us much more. Do you remember Sudam Vipra? He went to visit Lord Krishna in Dwarka because he was so poor that his wife said, now you just go and beg for some extra money or for a little bit of money from your friend Krishna, he's so rich. So Sudam went, he had just a small amount of dry, hard rice, and he was feeling so ashamed, he almost did not dare to give that to the Lord. And the Lord was so happy to see him. He set him on his own bed. He washed the feet of Sudam Vipra. And then he just went under his arm and took the rice himself. Because he knew he will feel so ashamed. He will not be able to really offer that to me. So he went, oh, you brought me some rice. Thank you so much. And started to eat that rice directly. And Rukmini was there and was saying, my Lord, how can you eat this old rice? And then when Sudam went back home, he was thinking, well, my wife sent me there to get some money from Krishna, but he did not give me anything. What will my wife say? And then he was thinking, actually it was a benediction. Because if my Lord would have given me some riches or fortune, I will forget Him. I will be so much eager to enjoy those material possessions. I will forget Him, therefore He did not give me. And when He came home, He just could not recognize the place. He was thinking, but where is my hut? What is this big buildings here? So he was looking at the trees and it was really the proper place. And then he saw a woman coming out of this big house with an arati trail and with many other servants, and they were so beautiful. And suddenly he recognized that was his wife. And then he understood that actually Krishna had given him much more, much, much more than what Sudama had given him with this broken heart rice. So we should not be fearful. Whatever we have, whatever we do, whatever we eat, to please offer that to Krishna. It is said that, here I think is the strongest point, that a person who is not giving to Krishna, he is not really alive. If you have some beautiful clothes for your wedding ceremony, those clothes might be so beautiful, but if you put the same clothes around the dead body, it has nothing attractive. Even if they will give you back the clothes, just because they were on this dead body, you would say, no, thank you. Even not for making a gamsha out of it, I don't want to take that. So in the same way, when the living entities is not engaged into worshipping the Lord, into offering whatever he has in glorification for the Lord, he's actually like a dead body. That's a strong point that the Shastras are giving. And he's a dead body who is actually breathing. And that's frightening. So that was the strong point. We will not stay too long there. But that makes the point that if we want to really be alive, if we want to really become loving people, we have to offer everything to the Lord. We have to enter into that worship. I will take question at the end so that it doesn't break the flow. You just keep on in your mind what was the question. So here I will add a little bit a personal note into that. Until now I'm just repeating what I have heard. But I was thinking while I prepared that lecture, what would Krishna want from me? And I think it's a good question. And of course we have the quotation of the Bhagavad Gita, what he expects from us. But maybe on a more personal level, what is Krishna expecting from me? Or what would Krishna want from me? And we can also go through a little deeper of what our spiritual master wants from us. And what other Vaishnavas want from us. And my answer was that actually Krishna wants my attention in whatever I'm doing. Whenever we are doing service to Lord Jagannath, whenever we are chanting the holy name, the Lord is there, and what he wants is just our attention. He wants us to be conscious of what we are doing, that we just don't do everything as a ritual. And when our spiritual master is clearly asking us something, or when Vaishnavas come to us, our temple authority, or even a younger Vaishnava who come to ask for something from us, will we be like the washerman? I have no time. I'm full. I have so much to do. You can do that yourself. No. We have to be very, very careful in all the dealings so that we don't follow in the footsteps of the washerman, that we are always actually ready to serve the Lord in the way He desires. So, now we go back to the Lila. Krishna and Balaram have now the clothes, are wearing now the clothes of the king. They are walking in the street of Mathura and still are the same behavior from the Mathuravasis, the people of Mathura. Still the ladies are on the rooftops looking, many, many people are following Krishna, Balaram and the Gaur boys. And people come out of the shops and they are giving offerings to Krishna and Balaram. Flowers, fruits, incense, decorations, ornaments. Suddenly, Krishna saw a tailor. And by the way, Kamsa had a different human size. Kamsa was much bigger than Krishna and Balaram, who were young boys. So all the clothes were actually too big for them. So at that time, Krishna saw a tailor. And the tailor could see that actually the clothes were not fitting so well to Krishna and Balaram. And because the tailor was a devotee, he just came to Krishna and Balaram and offered his obeisances to them. With his folded hands, and usually when we fold hands like this, it means, I am yours, I am ready, what can I do for you? So with folded hands, the tailor looked at Krishna and said, maybe you need some readjustments of your clothes. So the tailor, like the washerman, had a big crew with him. He had many, many assistants, and very soon they all started to work on Krishna, on Balaram, and on all the cover boys. They were putting the dress and cutting, and Krishna would say, a little shorter here, a little better here, a little like this there. And with the clothes that were left, the remaining clothes, he made some beautiful turbans. And then he started to make some type of designs or ornaments just made with clothes that he would sew on the clothes, some flowers, some designs. He would take from the other choir boys' clothes to make some different colors and some more harmonious match between the clothes. And Krishna inspired him to do the clothes in such detailed manner that Krishna could later wrestle against Chanukha and Mustika without any inconvenience of clothes not fitting properly. Now, after being dressed like this, the tailor put it ornaments to the Lord. And now, our Krishna and Balaram and all the cover boys, they looked like young, beautiful elephants. One blackish elephant and one whitish elephant. So elephants, when they are young, they are actually very beautiful. They don't have these things on the skin. The skin is very, very soft, very slim. And they are very attractive. Actually, whoever see young elephant there just become attractive. So Krishna were like this. Krishna and Balaram were like those young elephants. They have those beautiful clothes. They never wear such a clothes. In Vrindavan, they had much more simple way of dressing. And now they were looking like prince. They were very elegant. Now Krishna was very pleased with that first-class tailor work. So Krishna said, I would like to reward you. What can I do for you? And the tailor said, No, I don't want any payment. I don't want any payment. Just the fact I could do that service to you, this is my payment. This is what actually I wanted the most. So the tailor said, what I want actually is that I can always be engaged in your service. And because of that request, the Lord awarded him to go back to the spiritual world at the end of this lifetime. And for this lifetime, he gave him Param Shreyo. He gave him unlimited wealth. He gave him good health. He gave him good memory, strength, beauty, remembrance, everything for this lifetime. Sometimes people also, they come to saints and they ask for blessings. Oh, someone in my family is sick, can you bless them? Like this. But Radha Govinda Swami said, whenever people come like this to ask this type of blessings, I always tell them, that they should offer obeisances. They should offer obeisances to the deities as much as they can, because that's actually what will bring so much benefit to those, to the people who are suffering in this world. Just that they bow down in front of the Lord. That's actually what Radha Govinda personally recommends to anyone who has bad karma, who has difficulty with health, or they should just bow down again and again in front of the Lord and beg for His blessings. So, now they are super dressed. They are very, very beautiful. What is now missing? Mm-hmm. It will come a little later, but first the garland, flower garland are missing. Because Krishna, when he's in Vrindavan, he's always wearing flower garland. And now he's in Mathura and he do not have the flower garland, so that's missing. So he's walking in the street of Mathura and then he sees there is a shop where there is a lot of garlands which are front of the shop. So he decides to go there. And this is the shop of Sudam. Su means beautiful and Dam means garland. Sudam was a garland maker from family tradition. From father to son, they had learned to do garlands and he would do garlands for the deities. That was his profession. He was actually a devotee. And the shop was connected to his house. So when Krishna and Balaram came to his shop, the house was in the background. So Sudam immediately came and all the members of the family of Sudam also came to see the Lord. And immediately Sudam, by the way, as I'm telling you that particular place of the pastime, Sudam will give us very, very good example of how we can live a life of Kriyastha Ashram. How is the way to live in the Kriyastha Ashram? So immediately immediately Sudam, when he saw Krishna and Balaram, offered them a place to sit. He had only very simple seats, so he put in those seats and he covered them with clean clothes for the Lord to sit. And then he decided to wash the feet of the Lord. And that's actually, according to the tradition, very auspicious ceremony to do. At the time, we could say they would wash the feet of the sadhu because they were walking barefoot in the street. But another reason was to make them more comfortable. And even nowadays, even if sadhus are driving in car and are wearing shoes, even that, it's actually good when sadhus come to do a foot washing ceremony. But we have to be very careful the way we do. For example, we should not use cold water in the winter or hot water in the summer. The whole idea is that it should be very pleasing for the guest. So in that garland maker in Sudan's house, there were flowers everywhere. And it was smelling very, very fragrant. And after this foot washing ceremony, Sudam offered a full arati to Krishna. He offered him sandalwood paste on his forehead, he offered him pan, betel nuts to chew, he offered him garlands also. Then Sudam took the water of the Abhishek, of the foot washing, and then sprinkled in all his family members and also on his head. He was very happy. And actually, this type of welcome is actually an example of success in Kriyastha life. Actually, the success, as Radha Govinda Swami explained, is when Kriyasthas can invite sadhus in their house, because that is actually purifying their whole house. And in India, they are very much aware of that. Whenever I'm traveling with Satchinandana Swami in India, Everyone wants to invite them in their home because they know it will purify their house. And they know, they understand the value of serving Vaishnavas. They understand that by doing that, I will get so much blessings. The Lord will be so much pleased with me because I'm serving His dearest servant. So Sudam was so happy. Sudam was saying, I have reached the goal of my life. My life is now a success. All the blessings I got from all Brahmanas are now bearing fruits. In our materialistic world, we have a wrong conception of what success is. For us, success means a good career, some prestige, some money. But here Sudam is explaining the success really is to be able to do such a service to the Lord or such service to the sadhus. Now, Sudam was also very happy about the member of his family. Because he understood the fact I could do that service, now all my karmic debts are cleared. So I would like to mention a little bit on that. It is said in the scripture we all have karmic debts. We have karmic debts toward our forefathers. Our father, our grandfather, and all generation. Because they gave us this body, which allow us now to serve Krishna. And I was surprised to hear that actually, although they have left their body, there is still a connection between them and us. And according to the way we behave, they will get some result. If they are in hell, for example, and we are acting in sinful way, they will get even in a deeper sphere, in a more painful type of health. But if we are acting in a pious way, they will gradually come back into more heavenly state. And if one become a pure devotee, they will all be liberated. Many generations before, many generations after will be liberated. So we have also debts toward the sadhus, because they are giving us the shastras. They are giving us the knowledge of Krishna. And this is also a very, very important gift we are receiving. And we clear out that debt by using the knowledge and engaging ourselves in devotional service. We have debts toward demigods. They give us food, they give us sun, they give us water. But actually all those debts become clear out when once it is engaged in the service of Krishna. So by this service, Sudam was saying, now all my ancestors are liberated and all the future generations are liberated. He was so joyful. I have attained the success of life. And then Krishna told him, but what are you saying? I'm just a insignificant cowboy boy? Why you say that you have attained success of life? Why you say your forefathers are liberated? Then Sudam said, no. I know who you are. You are Ishvara. You are the supreme controller. You are the supreme maintainer of everything. And here also is a very interesting point to ponder about, to think about. And that everything actually belongs to the Lord. We came in this world, we are empty hand. And when we leave this world, we are empty hand. And in the middle, we claim that so many things belong to us. When we come in this world, we even don't have underpin. We are totally naked. So we really cannot claim of having anything in this world. That's a very interesting point to think about in our life. So because Sudam was a devotee, he could recognize, no, you are my Lord. You are not an ordinary cowboy. finally Sudan asks for a blessing. No, actually, he asks something else. And here is again a very, very important point. I hope you can follow all the points. It's actually very condensed knowledge. Now, Sudam asked Krishna. He said, now, what do you want from me? What can I do to please you? How should I behave to please you? The greatest blessings is to be engaged in your service. So here, Sudam is giving us a hint of what should be the underlying consciousness of a devotee. In all circumstances, at any time, the devotee should have only that in his mind. How can I please? How can I please Krishna? How can I please my spiritual master? How can I please every Vaishnava around me? That actually what should all the time be in the consciousness of a devotee. Now because of this attitude, when he was meditating, what can I do for my Lord? He got an answer in his heart. And the answer was, make a beautiful flower garland for me. And at that time, Krishna personally told him, my dear Sudam, please make a beautiful garland for me. Krishna confirmed what he had heard in the heart. And this is a magical thing. If really we meditate, how we can, in our own way, in our own abilities, how we can please the Lord, and we are really thinking deeply on that, we will get answer in our heart, how the Lord like to be served by us. So, Sudam had already given garlands to Krishna and Balaram, and actually to all the cowherd boy, he had given garlands. But he had given them garlands who were already hanging in the shop. Now Sudam understood, my Lord wants me to make a new garland, a fresh one. So he gathered the most fragrant flower he could have, the most beautiful, colorful flowers, and he made the super Maha garland for Krishna and Balaram. And I think you know in India, flowers have so much smell, much more smell than the flowers we find here. So he made those beautiful garlands that actually also Sudam showed in the beginning when Krishna and Balaram came. Sudam also gave garland of flowers to everyone, to all the cowherd boys that were there, not only for Krishna and Balaram. So it might not be so practical here in the West, especially in winter when flowers are quite expensive, to welcome all the Vaishnavas with garland. Sometimes there is also, we know that there are two sadhus coming, or there is one guru coming in our temple. So we make one flower garland and suddenly he comes with another very great sadhu. And we have only one garland. Sometimes we had that in the Fasanenstrasse for the Chaitanya Lila evening. Sachinandana Swami would invite one of his friend or god brother, and suddenly the devotees were, oh, we did not know, we have only one garland. What to do? So in such a case, we can greet the sadhu with a simple flower. That will be like a garland, and that will actually fit into the etiquette of welcoming properly the guest. So also to make a flower garland is a very intimate service. It's a very, very special service. And Sudam was really expert in the art of doing that. Now, human beings, they usually do not know how to wear flower garland. And many times when devotees meet politicians or big people, they give them a flower garland. They keep the flower garland for 2 minutes and then they just removed it. But actually, those flower garlands, they are Mahaprasad. That's the mercy, and we have actually to honor them. When we receive flower garland, we should wear them. we should not immediately take them away. Only if we have some hay fever, some pollen allergy, okay, then you might have to take it out. But otherwise, we should wear the flower garland. We should honor them. It's not good to just keep it for 1 minute and just put them away, according to the Vedic tradition. Raghavendra Swami was explaining that even sometimes, you know, the deities have flower garland, and in the evening when the pujari undress them, they take away the flower. So he says sometimes the pujari come to my room at 9 o'clock and he's giving me the flower garland of the Lord. I'm alone in my room, but I wear it with happiness. It's the Mahaprasad. It was touched by the Lord. I remember once we were in Vrindavan. I was together, like usually, with Sachinandana Swami, and in India he is getting so many garlands wherever he's going. This is one after another. So when we go back to the house, he hangs all the flower garlands in a place. And one day he told me, let's go to Vrindavan town. We'll go to have darshan to some deities. And when we came out of the house, he took the biggest, the most opulent garland, and he put it that around my neck. And he took one simple one that he put around his neck, and then we went. And I was feeling so ashamed. But I was feeling very happy in one sense to have this so beautiful garland. But I was feeling that's the sign of important personality, and I'm not at all. So it was bringing me actually very, very humble. Just to carry that garland was making me very humble. And I understood, if I have this garland, my third escape for the ego, which is actually struggling so much to keep that garland, was I have to be in the mood of a servant. When I'm in the mood of a servant, then I'm worthwhile to have that garland. I deserve somehow that garland, so then it's okay. So the point is that those flower garlands are prasadam of the Lord, and we should not just put them away. We should honor them. Sometimes we see also devotees who are on the same level. They get the garland, and 5 minutes later they go to another devotee and they give the garland. And then you see the other one give to another one, and you see just the garland is just moving from one devotee to another devotee. And I feel it's very, very nice to share the mercy like this. And it's like a loving exchange that's giving and accepting Mahaprasad. So Krishna was definitely very, very pleased with the service of Sudam. And he asked him, now Sudam, please ask me for a boon. Ask me for a benediction. And Sudam said, I want 3 benedictions, my Lord. And he asked for 3 things. He said, I want to have unflinching, unshaking devotional service to you. I want friendship with your devotees. And I want transcendental compassion for all living entities. That was his 3 desires. There is no wealth or no better treasure than those 3 things. It's very similar to Namaruchi, Vaishnava Seva, Jivadaya. This unflinching devotion is like the taste in chanting the holy name. This friendship with devotees expressed through service with the devotees, and this compassion for all living entities, this Jivadaya, those 3 things are very, very basic in our spiritual life. And for anyone who has even one of those 3, he is actually very advanced. And Sudam showed, that's what I want, these three things. So Krishna said, Tadastu. I award you those things. And Krishna gave him even more. Krishna gave him also wealth, good health, good memory and all this paramshreyo, all this good benediction for this lifetime. There is a last point which is very much connected to all I said now. It's concerning to the Grihastha Ashram, concerning to this welcoming saintly person and his way of serving them when they are in their homes. In the lecture, Raghavendra Swami said, please don't be angry at me. But without that service to the Vaishnava, Grihastha life is like hell. And then he explained, he goes a little bit deeper. I mean, there he makes really the strong point, how that is important in Grihastha life. And then he said, what makes Grihastha life hell is four things. The first one is very difficult for us to understand in the West. Because what will make the Grihastha life hell is when the mother is not living in the house. In our civilization it will be the opposite. When the mother is living in the house, then we can know it's hell. But in the Indian civilization it was the opposite. Because in the tradition, the mother was a saintly lady, was not a person who would all the time ask for things and be angry and complain, like unfortunately many old person in this world. No, in that time the mother was very wise, was actually giving advice to the family. She was actually taking care, very precious care to the whole family. Therefore, it was hell if the mother was not in the house. The second thing is if the wife is not pleasing to the husband. This is also something that makes the Grihastha life hell. The third one is if the children are not obedient, then it makes also the situation hell. And the fourth thing is if there is financial difficulties, that brings also hellish difficulty in the Grihastha Ashram. So Chanakya Pandit is saying, if we have such a hell in the Grihastha Ashram, then it's better to leave and to go and live in the forest. But the best is to know how to make the Grihastha Ashram work properly and how to have those components work. And Radha Govinda Swami speak a little bit about the Dharma of the wife. And there it's actually a very good example of how Grihastha life can work. And he explained that when the husband come back from home, the wife should be there to welcome him. The wife should stand, welcome him. The wife should give him a place to sit, should offer him something to drink, should have something to eat for him, should have kind words. How was your day today? Like this should the wife behave. The wife should not just sit on the sofa. Hello, Haribo, yeah, you are here, thank you. Or just fully absorb into reading. No, the wife should be actually, that's the dharma of the wife, to welcome and give sweet words to the husband. And when the wife is acting like this, when the husband comes at home, he has a shelter. He has a place where he knows that all the difficulty of the day will be forgotten. He knows that he will be actually in a shelter place. Interesting perspective. And it is said that if the house is not like this, we cannot, that's actually a house. But if the wife know the art, know her dharma, then the house become a home. Without that kindness and that service attitude, we cannot call the house a home. It's a home only when dharma is there in the house. So Krishna was very happy. He got now the super wonderful fragrant garland. And together with Balaram and all the cowboy went back in the road, in the street, of Mathura continuing his journey. And we can see in that particular section we were dealing with the washerman, we were dealing with the tailor, and we were dealing with Sudam, the garland maker. And we could see three different stages of life. I mean, the first was extreme degraded, with the washerman. Then we could see the tailor was a devotee. But what is making the difference between the tailor and between Sudam? Sudam, even after doing all the service, he came to the Lord and asked, what else can I do? I want to always be pleasing you. And I think this is really the point we should take with us. This deep meditation, this deep thought, how can I be pleasing? At every time, every circumstance, whatever we are speaking, whatever we are doing, this underlying consciousness, what can I do to please? How can I please the Vaishnavas? How can I please my spiritual master? How can I please the Lord? So, here ends our journey for today. There is still long to go in these pastimes of Krishna and Balaram entering in Mathura. I'm so glad that I can do that service to just repeat actually those lectures that are really a big treasure of knowledge and of wonderful points. I'm very grateful to all of you that you are here to listen. Without you, I could not be able to do that service. I'm grateful to the deities who are there and backing me and giving me the blessing so that I can do that service. So happy that Srila Prabhupada is there in his Murti form and also giving so much blessings to all of us. Very thankful to Ananda Tirtha Prabhu and the temple authorities who also allow me to do that service. So, I don't know if you have any questions, any comment. You might have a few questions. You can also just share some points maybe that are more relevant for you. Yeah?
I was wondering, how is it possible that Krishna takes his old clothes? I mean, they are dirty and the king was wearing it before. Can you say something about it? I think it's very unusual that somebody takes clothes from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were not washed.
Oh, they were maybe just finished to be washed. That was the washerman who had them. Yeah, this we don't know really if they were washed or not. But Krishna had two reasons. Once he wanted to be dressed according to the circumstance. He was not anymore in the village of Vrindavan. He was in the city, so he wanted to be dressed in the city style. And also he wanted to show Kamsa that's now I'm taking your clothes, but soon I will take much more from you. That was the two reasons. But I think the Yoga Maya, who is organizing the pastimes of the Lord, must have arranged that the clothes were clean, I think. Yeah?
I just want to say it was very nice. How you told everything was very colorful. And it was very colorful in the mind, first with the clothes and then the tailor, how he arranged with the cardboards and then the garlands.
Mm.
Very colorful pastime.
Thank you. You also tell us that when we hear pastimes, actually we should visualize what is happening in our mind. And your comment is mentioning that you actually could see those pastimes and you could see all the colors that were there. Very nice.
How we can be able to think, how can I serve you, Krishna, the devotees, and not wonder about myself?
Just try. We can see also, that's good that you say that, because I forgot to say something. when the garland maker, Sudam, asked Krishna, what can I do for you? So Krishna inspired him first in the heart and then confirmed loudly, please make a garland for me. And it shows that Krishna did not ask him something that was out of his abilities. Krishna engaged him in abilities that Krishna knew how to do and liked it to do also. Krishna did not say to Sudam, okay, give me 2 rooms with attached bathroom. I want to stay in Mathura for some days. No, he knew he's a poor man. He's living together with all his family. He knows how to do garland. I ask him to do garland. And in the same way, actually, for us, whenever someone comes to us and wants to offer service for our temple or simply in Krishna consciousness, we should always be very careful to see what are their abilities, what they are able actually to do, and what they are wanting to do. And then we engage them to that capacity. So in the same way, when we approach the spiritual master, when we approach the Vaishnavas, when we approach Krishna, and we think, what can I do for you? It's a risk. A risk is there. Maybe they will ask us to do something that is not so pleasurable for us. Like if I will go to Ananda Tirtha and ask, Ananda Tirtha, what can I do for you? Ananda Tirtha would say, come with me, distribute books one day. And that will be a big challenge in my heart. But I think when we take that challenge, Krishna is rewarding us very, very much. Much more than actually if we stay in our comfort zone and don't make the step. I had also interesting experience last month. Few times, I mean, it was not me who was going to ask directly, but few times some devotee came to me to ask something from me, and it was things I did not like to do. And I just say, yes, okay, I do it. And right after I had said that, or maybe 1 or 2 hours after that, the person came to me and said, oh, everything is already arranged, someone else did it. And I felt like Krishna was just testing me if I would surrender or not. And just because I was agreeing to surrender, actually the things were already done. And that's a risk. That's a risk, but it's for our good. We must have faith that actually the reward will be much bigger. That's like you say, Krishna wants things that maybe we are most attached from. So when we go like this, we have a risk that maybe we might have to do something not so pleasurable for us, or maybe to give up something we like, we are attached to, but the reward will be much bigger than what we expect. When we do that, Krishna is sending so much more blessings in. So this should be actually giving us the enthusiasm to do it. Try it in small levels, and you see it will be great. Thank you. Very nice question. So should we sing a little bit, or should we end here directly? What do we do? I think we should sing a little, yes, and then take prasad. Do we have any? Would you like to lead? No.
No?
Yeah, Goranga.